Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt on Podcast One.
For just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from ACS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat cool stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut.
The evil bitch that is coronavirus may still be raging outside, but Corolla Drinks is hard at work with another month of Adam's Monthly Nut. This month includes a free chapter from the upcoming I'm Your Emotional Support Animal audiobook, narrated by the Ace Man himself. Two bottles of Poopery toilet spray to save your family from the smells of your COVID diet. A key locator, so that when you're ready to finally go outside and lose your keys, you'll still be able to find them easily. A sleeping mask, so you can catch some Z's just like Adam. The entire audiobook for fan favorite AJ Benza's autobiography, 74 and Sunny. God, does this guy have stories. And of course, a bottle of your choosing. We know times are tough, but we at Corolla Drinks are here to remind you to take a breath, have a drink, and wait for all this shit to be over. Mahalo.
Well, we have an action-packed show planned for you guys today. Dr. Drew hangs with us. Mark fired out of a cannon. We get into many discussions of liberty and the powers overstepping their boundaries on the street and in the Senate and the House and everywhere else. So we'll get to all that in a second. First, feels, stress, anxiety, chronic pain, trouble sleeping. You're not alone. Feels premium CBD delivered right to your door naturally. It helps reduce stress, anxiety, pain, sleeplessness. No high, no hangover, no addiction. You take a couple of drops, and I'll do this before I go to bed. I'll just put a few drops underneath my tongue and just mellow out. Watch a little TMZ and then drift off into a beautiful slumber. It just takes a couple minutes to kick in. Free CBD hotline for any support you might need, and tech support as well, so you can talk or text. Get feels delivered right to your door every month. Save on every order. Pause or cancel anytime. Feels has me feeling my best all day. It is feels. Right, Gary?
That's right. Become a member today by going to feels.com/doubt, and you'll get 50% off your first order with free shipping. That's feals.com/doubt to become a member and get 50% automatically taken off your first order with free shipping. Feels.com/doubt.
Also, a reminder, if you'd like to watch this episode, you can watch it on our YouTube channel.
This is Corolla Digital. This is Reasonable Doubt with your hosts, Mark Garagus and Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. No choice but to get on, Mandy. Get it on. And welcome to the best hour in the universe. It is Reasonable Doubt. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Mark Garagus, who's in his home or home office right now, or office, not at home. There's Dr. Drew, who's at home in his home office. Am I right, Drew?
I'm in my son's bedroom, and I'm a little jealous that you claim this podcast as the best in the universe. Can we at least build the solar system?
It's the best. Hold on a second. You know, in the Oscars and the Grammys and the Academy Awards and the Tonys,
I can't believe
Emmys,
this is where we start. Yes.
They have different categories. So what we do is a series. This is the best once a week.
Got it. All right.
Podcast.
All
we do the best series.
Fair enough.
All right. Look, there's so much to talk about.
I just start with one thing that's just, and I know you always accuse me of being fired out of a cannon, but I just saw yesterday, none other than our fearless leader, Mayor Cuomo out of New York, who said he's shocked, he says, that they've got the new statistics for the where the infection is coming from, COVID, obviously. Now, nursing homes, 18%, Jails, he says, 2%. Congregations or some or one or something like that. Guess where the number one source, over almost two-thirds of all infections are coming from? Two-thirds.
Lockdown in their homes.
Bing, 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 bing. That's why he's Dr. Drew. Isn't it? We are so insane. Drew, Adam and I have been saying for what seems like 8 weeks now, we're going to look back on this as the greatest institutionalized insanity. It's like we're in an insane asylum. We've been saying, Drew and I did his show the other night, and I was saying that I think there's one documented case outdoors as Adam and I are fighting the idiot squad who's on the trails. They want to close the trails. They want to close the beaches. There's one documented case that they can of transmission outdoors. But let's lock everybody at home. And now shocking was the term that was used. 66% of the cases in New York, which is the epicenter, at home.
And he had another piece of data. And by the way, at home includes the elevators, the halls, and all the poorly ventilated spaces that really transmitted this thing. But there was another piece of data he put up, and he didn't understand what he had put up. This was yesterday. He goes, well, look, if you're at home in Westchester County, 16% of you got this thing. But here's the good news. If you are working in a COVID unit in the hospital, it's only 6%. So that means that you are better off using masks and hand washing in the continuous presence of the virus than you are sitting at home. Think about that.
I said these things are not, and you know, you don't have to be the head of the CDC. You don't have to be a medical doctor. It's just ask a couple of questions. Where is this happening? How is this happening? And when you ask the questions, you say to yourself, what are we doing? It's like we have inflamed this ourselves through the policies, through everything else. We have created this situation that makes absolutely no sense.
But you should look at the videos of me back in like February going, the press needs to shut up. They need to shut up. They're going to create a panic. It's going to be a horrible, horrible panic. And that's going to be the problem. Let the doctors do their thing. And it came. But Adam calls me every day to complain about this, Mark. That did not escape Adam.
Well, I'll tell you why. I'll tell you what it feels like to me. There is no logical reason why the hiking trails, the park, the horse trail, and the beaches should be shut down. There's no logical reason, and now there's no fucking scientific reason. So why? And it's beyond, oh, well, would it be dangerous to open up the... Turns out sunlight, exercise, vitamin D, that's the best thing you can do. So we're actually taking a positive option and removing it from the table. If going outside, getting exercise, being in the sunlight, it's 90 degrees outside, getting the vitamin D, if that's the most important thing you can do and staying in is causing the spread of this at a greater level, then you're actually doing harm. It's not a risk reduction. It's quite the opposite. You're actually harming your citizens. And you assholes never stop talking about, we're going to listen to what the scientists say. We're getting the data from the science. Why don't you listen to what they're fucking saying? Unless it's more of what I suspect, which is Newsom and Cuomo to some degree, but Newsom especially, and Garcetti have been staring at a fucking writing crop that was behind glass in their office for the last several years. And they went, now you can get that writing crop out and you can beat your citizens with it, but only during an emergency. And fucking Garcetti, but it was Newsom. He got that crop in his hand and he likes the way it feels. Likes the way it feels because for once he got that fucking riding crop in his hand and he likes the feel of it. So at some point we went, all right, but we can go down on the beach, right? And he went, whack. He whacked you with it. He went, no, you can't.
But my anger is so directed at Garcetti, I don't even know where to begin. If you take New York statistics, I think, what did they say, Drew? 2% from the homeless population. That was probably the homeless population that was sheltered is the 2%.
That's right.
It is insanity what it, they just won't listen to any of this. I mean, it's like, and as Adam says, because we've been saying this, nobody wants to follow the science. By the way, now the science is, I was watching yesterday, the woman who is the author and is kind of the darling of MSNBC was talking about what is confounding her is that there appears to be a cardiovascular component to this. You know, so far it's been identified as pulmonary, but now they're identifying the cardiovascular.
Oh, no, they've known that for a while. It's actually an anti-cardiolipid, anti-phospholipid syndrome. So when you hear the word inflammation, include in your thinking the lining of arteries, because that's sort of where dangerous inflammation can occur. And that's why people are getting strokes and losing their legs and that kind of thing. And we don't know what's doing that yet. It's very weird.
It is weird. But I'll tell you, and they're now saying, if you listen to the emergency room doctors, that one of the greatest things they can correlate is high blood pressure. Have you seen that as well?
And well, you explain not just high blood pressure, but it's the whole metabolic syndrome. So it's hypertension that's always there. If you have the following things, you're dead in a very short period of time. Hypertension, hypercholesterolemia, insulin resistance, that's the other big one, antiphospholipid, central obesity, done in 3 days. It's just brutal. It's unbelievable. It's so brutal.
It's like Vinny. It's like Vinny designed this.
Yeah, I know.
You know what I mean? It's the Vinny. The Vinny virus.
Yeah. What, Drew? As a physician, what percentage of 14-year-olds on skim boards at Zuma Beach would suffer from these physical atrocities? Is it in the 80 percentile, low 70s? I'm not a doctor.
Let me think. 80, 78, zero.
Yeah.
I got to say something. I was saying to Drew earlier today, I said, you stopping in the middle of the highway as a deer and getting stuck in the headlights of a Mack truck is not a plan. Just because you stopped, it doesn't mean there's a plan involved. This whole, hey, I got a plan, everyone stay at home, that's not a plan.
Well,
I was going to ask Drew, is this a possibility for a theory? It's now apparent that this virus was both on the West Coast and in New York.
Yes.
Earlier. And now they're positing, I've seen theories, if you believe that the Santa Clara autopsies show February 6th and February 17th, and if you show, which is earlier than Washington, and if they're now looking for New York to be in as far back as November, which would have been the same here, is it possible that the first wave of this has already came through and that there was the starting of herd immunity, but what has happened by the stay-at-home orders, that when you put all of these people at home, that what ended up happening is you accelerated the death or the deaths without creating the and retarding the herd immunity.
There is something to what you're saying. At very least, you reduce the potential of people to be walking around with immunity who would not have had serious illness. There's a growing movement, and what probably will do going forward is you isolate the risk groups and you isolate the sick people. You don't isolate everybody else. That sort of has some sanity to it. But, you know, when you look back at the whole thing, it really was that guy Ferguson at the Imperial College of London that got everybody worked up.
The guy who was out banging his mistress, right?
The guy that was asked to step down because he broke quarantine that he built to bang a married woman. Yes.
Yeah.
He listened to his previous predictions. Okay, you ready? In 2002, he predicted that 50,000 people would die in the UK of mad cow. There were 177. In 2005, he predicted 150 million people killed from the bird flu. There was about 500,000. In 2009, a government estimated his advice, a worst case scenario, the swine flu, 65,000 British deaths. There were 450. I mean, he just keeps his predictions have always been off by an order of magnitude or more. Why? You know, this guy was on the front page of the New York Times until about 3 weeks ago. They should be ashamed of themselves.
Let me explain how the government works. Let me explain how California works. How much is the bullet train going to cost from Fresno to Modesto? Oh, like $8. Okay. Turns out it's $800 billion. Okay. How many deaths from coronavirus? 800 billion. Turns out it's 1200. They have a wide range. They seem to go low when it comes to estimating the bridges or the construction or the bullet trains, but they go, they make up for it when it comes to pandemics.
Well, they got to make up for it somewhere.
And what I've been trying to figure out, I read the, Drew and I talked about this last week. You read the, they've got a thing called Cal Matters, and the LA Times puts it out, and it collates the confirmed hospitalizations county by county and suspected confirmed cases. You know, I look at it every morning. They're still in excess of 20 counties with, guess what? Zero confirmed hospitalizations due to COVID, zero confirmed cases due to county. 20 counties in the state, yet we have a one-size-fits-all shutdown, which I believe has exacerbated, especially in L.A. County, the spread of this, number one. And number two, I don't understand why, as Drew just said, and Adam and I have been screaming about this, if you knew that the elderly and those in nursing homes, we knew this 8 weeks ago, those were the people who were most at risk. Why didn't we quarantine those places? And right. Why didn't we do something about the jails where people can't get out and said, I mean, and by the way, if you hate the prisoners, if you're one of those guys who says, well, fuck them, let them all die. Remember, there still has to be somebody in there that's a correctional officer. Right. If you're that heartless, at least. You got to be, if you're pro law enforcement, you got to feel for the families of the correctional officers. You've got to go in there every day instead of creating a petri dish for this thing as well. I mean, it's, the whole thing is, it makes no sense.
Yep.
Well, Cuomo ordered infected nursing home patients to go back to the nursing home. So it was the opposite of quarantining. And some of that story's coming out, actually, which is going to be pretty fascinating, because they made a decision. I'm not sure what it was based on. I don't know what was in it for them, but there is a story out of New York where Cuomo said, if you have this, you must be readmitted to the nursing home. And that's where they had all the deaths. So that,
and by the way, for those of you who tweet that we're picking on just the Democrats, let me tell you, the federal response to this has not exactly been textbook dealing with a crisis. It's, in fact, it's been kind of a parade of horribles as well. It's just that we're sitting here having to deal with the local authorities, and that's who, you know, you want to writ micro, it's our horse trail. Next step up from that, it's our mayor. Next step up from that, it's our governor. And as the mayor is laying off tens of thousands of people, and the governor is looking at a blowhole into the budget of over $50 billion in about, I would say, the over and under is about 6 months. This is going to be an economic meltdown, the likes of which nobody has ever seen in our lifetime.
Well, how's that going to, what is that, what the hell, what's going to happen here? That's the part that frightens me in terms of the long-term impact of this thing.
I think that the economic devastation, I mean, that's why you wake up every morning, you see the Dow and the S&P in the mid 20,000s. And to me, it's like whistling past the graveyard. There is no way any first year economics major can tell you cannot print your way money out of this. It's not going to happen. You can't have a complete retooling of this. Whether you get a vaccine, whether you get some kind of a ameliorative effect, you just can't shut this economy off and then turn it back on again and think that it's going to work. You can't have all of these businesses. Ever since we filed lawsuits on behalf of small businesses, the stories I hear every single day, I'm on the phone maybe 6 hours a day talking to people who are calling up, and it's heartbreaking. People who spent 10 or 20 years, whether it's a mariachi band, a bar, the gondola rides. The, I mean, you know, I go on and on. The guy at the end of the pier down at the, down in Manhattan Beach. The you know, the people up north. The Mexican restaurant in East LA. These stories are unbelievable. The flea market. I take it over this poor woman at the flea market. It's outdoors. She's offered to have everybody wear the things. They could do their shopping there. But no, we want to send them into Costco, into Walmart, or into Target instead of having them outdoors and outfitted in an outdoor flea market. Because why? Because she doesn't have the power or the lobbying effort to do it. I'm telling you, we've got an economic tidal wave or tsunami that is coming our way.
And you know, Adam's a big yeah. proponent of the outdoor, unlicensed, no brick and mortar employee sales of goods.
These people are licensed at the flea market. That's what kills me. She has the flea market. She makes them get licensed. They've got health departments, the whole thing. And trust me, Adam and I have done a thing about the guy who parks out front of 10E or in front of Engine and pays no taxes whatsoever, has no health department, and he's got a better lobby going on than the brick and mortar.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, the governor is one thing, the mayor's another, the news agencies that are sort of whipping up everyone into a frenzy, that's another component. But I want to make this proclamation right now.
Uh-oh.
To the people who claim folks like us want to reopen the economy so we can get our hair cut, our nails, our cuticles pushed, you can suck my quarantine cock. These are fucking businesses. I don't want them open so I can get a haircut or back rub or mani-pedi. It's their business that I want to support. My fingernails will be fine. This notion that everyone who's talking about reopening the economy is just greedy or wants to get a facial or waxing or wants to go see a movie and doesn't care about the other citizens. It's insane that you're so simple-minded that you could couch it that way.
Well, the cartooning of America, Adam, that we've talked about before. Right. And so the cartoon image is if it's either economics versus murder. It's economics versus death. That's it.
Right.
Right. That's the binary choice. And none of it makes any sense. We've said this before. If I've got a mobile pet groomer who comes to my house and I let Brady or Giglio run to the mobile pet groomer at the van, I don't even have to get out of the house because the dogs will go to him immediately because he's going to give him treats. He'll bring him in into his van. It's self-contained. That guy's outlawed. Mia St. John, Drew, who you know and I know, poor Mia, trying to have 12-step meetings, and they send in the LAPD like some kind of Nazi guard or SS squad to shut down five people having an AA meeting 6 feet apart. Yet I'm downstairs at Engine Company, and I can deliver Don Julio to anybody who wants it to raise their blood pressure to make them more susceptible while they're in. None of this makes any sense. And by the way, people are with this, you know, they show the worst case scenario, which is, you know, crazy kind of, you know, alt-right white nationalist protesting and say, well, that's your crowd. That's who you're supporting. No, that's not who I'm supporting. Okay. I can actually nuance a way around that. People are protesting for a reason because they know that this is nonsensical and this is what happens. Each side has become so polarized that they just, the rationality has been left at the door.
Right.
I'll tell you one of the scariest sequences or pictures that I got from this whole thing is when that woman who was the salon owner who opened up, I guess in Texas,
right?
I can't remember where she was, but it was the judge. It wasn't the judge saying it's $100 fine or you're going to spend the night in jail or rules. He was basically telling her she had to apologize. You know what I mean? He was saying, you put people in danger. Now you apologize. It was like being wished out into the cornfield by the fucking government. I don't mind the part where they give you a ticket or slap on the hand. This transcended that. This is more Big Brother than it is, hey, we need $55 to keep the lights on at City Hall. This was an emotional journey. This wasn't a pragmatic one or a financial one. And that's really scary when the people in charge are like, here's what I need. I need you to genuflect in front of me. That was a scary.
It has become, like, I just keep going back. It has become, you suspend rationality. I mean, I've got a woman, I took her case for free because I felt so strongly about it, who was doing her cosmetology clients one at a time, fully PPE'd up. And, you know, they ended up giving her a criminal citation, but they didn't put her in jail.
Crazy.
And then, right, yeah, and then, you know, that was in Palm Springs. And Newsom now yesterday was trying to justify that the first known community spread fact situation was at a salon. And it was apparently somebody giving a pedicure. And all I could think of, because I'm so old, was defending somebody at a nail salon back in 1984 who was being prosecuted for not giving a pedicure during the AIDS, the initial stages of AIDS. And it's the same kind of a thing where they take one example and they just blow it up to create the hysteria, as opposed to just, why don't we have a rational discussion? I mean, okay, I get it. We don't know enough about the science on whether or not I can give you a pedicure or go get a pedicure. But at the same time, why is it that, you know, Drew, you tell me, the Swedish model seems to have worked, at least so far, or am I wrong?
No, it's about what you'd predict. You got to harken back to our original goals, which were to flatten the curve to prevent the surge. That was our concern. We were going to exceed our capacity, the hospital and ICU system. Mission accomplished. We did a great job. We overachieved. I mean, we built hospitals in, you know, the Javits Center, and then dismantled them and brought in giant ships filled with hospital beds and sent them back out to sea. And we didn't need any of that. In Sweden, they let it happen more slowly. They're using masks and hand washing. And it's a slow, steady kind of a thing without a surge. But this harkens back to the original question, which is hand washing and masks and social distancing inferior to isolating in place? Or maybe it's superior. We have no scientific evidence. I've interviewed multiple experts now. I had Charles Murray, the head of the University of Washington group that puts out that great bit of data, the graphs every couple of days. I talked to the head of the LA County Department of Clinical Health, and I proposed this. I said, there is no, the whole lock-in-place thing was designed originally in 2006 by a 14-year-old girl. We've never done that before in medical history. We'd adopted it as policy in the Bush administration in 2006, and now we're applying it. But we have no science to say that it's better. Why are we waiting until there's 100 people in the hospital or there's 5 people in the hospital? Why don't we transition to masks and social distancing now? And every time I ask that question, they go, that is a really good question. And no answer. They have no answer.
What about the fact I saw, I believe it was the Swedish ambassador, who was saying that in Stockholm, they estimate that right now they're approaching herd immunity as well, somewhere in that 30 to 40%. Now, I know there's other people who say we don't know anything about herd immunity. We don't know if it works. We don't know.
We don't know a lot of things. Listen, the medical, we're not even ready yet to say that antibodies and previously having had the illness confers immunity. That's how scared we are right now. No one has actually declared that, so that's kind of where we are.
Well, let me summarize. My thing is, Sweden is not doing as well as some of its neighboring countries, but you don't compare yourself to neighboring countries. I mean, we don't look at us compared to Mexico and Canada. We can look at us compared to Germany and Italy and China and the entire world. That's how you look at this stuff. It's not about who your neighbor is. So Sweden is doing worse than some of their neighbors, but doing better than England and Italy and Germany and many other nations. So what are we to draw from this? Well, nothing. The point is they're doing better than some and doing worse from others. When they look at the lockdown, you go, well, New York's doing worse than LA because they locked down later. Okay, but Florida locked down later than New York, and they're doing better than both of us or better than New York. So there is no rhyme and there's no reason. So what I'm sort of saying is now that this thing seems to defy us locking down first, or New York locking down second, but Florida locked down third and they're doing better than New York. With that in mind, maybe the answer isn't a complete and utter lockdown, since right. It seems to work both ways. I'm saying, you know, when in doubt, why don't you give us our civil liberties and let us hit the beach? All right. I had a question. I have a lot going on legally for Mark.
Oh, man. Here. I want to. Yeah, I mean, how
Flynn
can we not?
Comey and
I was
going to
say, how can we not talk about Flynn? Because, boy, is there a lot there. First of all, on General Flynn, you know, everybody has assumed that, okay, for those of you who don't know, Department of Justice came in and recommended or moved to dismiss, even though he pled, entered into a plea agreement when he had the law firm Covington and Burling. By the way, postscript, the same law firm, the same office that represented the NFL at the very same time that this was going on when I was suing the NFL. So I'm very familiar with that office, did depots there. They got substituted out, a woman by the name of ex-prosecutor named Sidney Powell, who's a frequent contributor on Fox News, subbed in on Flynn and was relentless in going after this thing. And the Department of Justice then appointed an outside person, somebody who was not on the trial team, to examine it. All of a sudden, stuff started coming out, and they moved to dismiss it. I'll tell you one thing. He's not out of the woods yet. You and I talked about, Adam, the judge in this case, Judge Sullivan, and he previously pointed at the flag in his courtroom and told Flynn, arguably you're a traitor to your country, and you better continue to cooperate because you don't want me to sentence you right now. I had encounters with this judge. He is an independent thinker. I'm not so sure he's going to like the fact that the government has come in now, let him down one primrose path, telling him one thing, now coming in and saying, okay, here's something else. And there was discussion on the internet yesterday. The line deputy in this case, the line deputy meaning the AUSA, moved to withdraw. Some people are characterizing it as I'm resigning in protest. Others have suggested that this deputy or this assistant United States attorney may realize that he's run afoul of Judge Sullivan's order. He's got a standing order that you turn over anything favorable to the defendant. And clearly they were not turning over everything that was favorable to the defendant. So there is a lot here, and Judge Sullivan could call for a hearing. We may have this story may not yet be over in terms of what comes out so far.
Well, you're talking about, first off, the law firm that previously represented Flynn. Part of the story is that they were just, it was malfeasance. Like they were just incompetent. They were not adequate.
It might have even been worse, because there are notes that they had not turned over to the current law firm, saying that they had basically entered into, this is what is suggested in the public filings, at least. The notes said, we're not going to put anything in writing. They had kind of this sub rosa deal with the prosecutor that Flynn is pleading, and we're not going to proceed against his son. Remember, for those who are arguing that, well, you know, and you hear a lot of this. I heard a lot of this chatter last night. Well, he pled guilty, so he must be guilty. So this is rigged. Hey, it's now abundantly clear he pled guilty because they threatened his son. And I personally have been there, and I've said it before on this show with you, Adam, the difference between the mafia and the Department of Justice is even the mafia spares the women and children. And clearly there were notes in the Covington and Burling hand notes that at least were filed that showed they understood they had kind of a wink, wink, nod agreement not to charge his son. And that was not disclosed to the guy who ended up going to trial, apparently. And that was also not turned over to Sidney Powell, who was the new lawyer. Part of this deal with the DOJ was that they would, that Sidney would withdraw all of her motions in trade for the dismissal. The withdrawal of the motions would be the would let Covington and Burling off the hook, because it appears that they had not complied with Judge Sullivan's order to turn over everything they had, because they were arguing that it was oppressive and burdensome. So there's a lot to unpeel.
You guys should interview Papadopoulos. He's in town here, and he will talk to you. He'll tell you exactly what it's like to be under that scrutiny by that group. I mean, he pled guilty to stuff too, because they threatened him massively, and so he'll tell you. And then his wife, who's an Italian socialist attorney who worked under the head of the EU for years, they turned her, because she looks Russian, into a Russian spy.
Well,
I said only government lawyers, only government lawyers.
Well, there is a note. I mean, there's a kind of a smoking gun note, but I'm curious what Mark thinks of it, where I don't know if it was struck to Page or McCabe or Comey or something, but they're basically saying, like, we're going to interview Flynn. What do we want to get out of this? We want him to lie. We give him a lie. We want to get him fired.
Right.
We want to do it. We want to perjure himself. What are we doing?
Let me say something about my frustration, my personal frustration dealing in the world of federal criminal defense. Just today, as we're talking, there was also a note where in Boston with Lori Loughlin, they found notes where Singer, who was the cooperating witness, had taken real-time notes about the agents telling him to bend the truth, to basically say it was a bribe when it wasn't a bribe. The judge there said it was irresponsible but not willful. Just today, same day, the day after, the Flynn notes come out. I have virtually the identical thing in my Utah case. They deep-six the fact that a witness I wanted to call had bribed an FBI agent. They waited until after the trial to unseal that in that case. The problem is, I don't have, and Lori Loughlin doesn't have, Trump with his megaphone, you know, calling the Department of Justice out, or having an independent prosecutor appointed to go and look over the shoulders of these people. Because I want to tell you, what happens in the federal criminal system is abhorrent. What the DOJ has gotten away with is abhorrent. What they continue to get away with is just, it's not a semblance of justice. The difference is Flynn, who they put through the ringer on this case, at least had somebody who was out there with a megaphone and who has, you know, a AG who's acting as somebody who's listening to him.
Yeah.
And so he gets somewhere. But boy, if you don't have that megaphone, if you don't have the, you know, some federal judge who's sick and tired of this nonsense, it's a real problem. They get away with it. When I wrote my book back in 2013, Chapter 4, I quoted a federal district court judge who was so disgusted by dealing with the government and the DOJ. This is way back when, Judge Eidman. And his famous quote was, being an AUSA, Assistant United States Attorney, means never having to say you're sorry. And God, isn't that the truth?
I'm going to tease this because I'm going to do a spot. But, you know, there's tape of Comey sort of at the 92nd Y sitting up there going, I figured I'd send a couple guys over, see what they could get out of Flynn. And I'd do it because stuff was kind of chaotic. And he was pretty casual about what he was talking about. And the audience was delighted, obviously. But I want to tease this. It seems like Barr and Durham's the guy we're always trying to think of. These guys, there's a little blood in the water. They got a little taste. And Trump is certainly fired up about it. I've even heard stories of, at some point, Obama getting dragged into this thing. So I want to know, Mark, if you think
that's quite a tease.
I want to know if you think Comey is vulnerable, or McCabe, or Strzok, or any of these players out there. First, I'll tell you about Credible.com. That's what I'm going to say. Online marketplace gets you pre-qualified student loan refinancing, and they'll use up to 10 different lenders. So they'll go out to up to 10 different lenders. They'll come back with rates, and they'll save you money. If you have student loan debt, you could benefit. You get a lower rate, save on interest, and a lower monthly payment as well. With a shorter loan term, you could get debt-free faster, consolidate your student loan bills, do it all in one place. See actual pre-qualified rates from up to 10 lenders. Not estimates. These are rates. These are actual rates. Just takes a couple of minutes. Doesn't impact your credit. They'll never send your data out, so you won't get spam or phone calls or any of that. So see if you can consolidate, get a lower rate, and do it with Credible.com. Right, Gary?
Please visit Credible.com/doubt. That's Credible.com/doubt. And when you refinance your student loans using this link, they'll give you a $200 gift card. Fill in a couple of pieces of info to check what rates you're eligible for. Again, that's Credible.com/doubt.
Oh, and I think they're also trying to go after, or maybe going after Adam Schiff, our own Adam Schiff as well. Thoughts, Mark Garagus?
Adam Schiff is a, they're never going to get anywhere. There's a pretty robust immunities for legislators. In fact, I used it to some effect when I represented Gary Condon almost 20 years ago. There's a privileges and immunities clause which would insulate him from any kind of threat. The McCabe, I actually saw last night give an interview, and it's kind of an amazing turn of events for McCabe, because he was a, at least if you believe what's been reported, he was in the crosshairs, but, and supposedly they had declined his lawyer's proffer, meaning that everybody was speculating that he was going to get indicted, but as of yet, it hasn't happened. Comey, I just think, the problem with Comey is that it would be, he just knows where too many bodies are buried as a practical matter from doing it. My frustration with this is that it's so rampant in the Department of Justice, this idea, at least in my experience. And I, when I say that, I don't mean it as a blanket indictment. I mean, there's people here in the Central District. There's lawyers in the Southern District. There's lawyers, prosecutors in many districts who understand what they're supposed to do and have got the guts to do it. But there are so many prosecutors who don't really understand what their Brady obligation is, meaning that they're supposed to turn it over, and don't understand that their prosecutorial obligation is to seek truth, not to just convict, not to win at any cost. And that's the culture that's got to be changed. And I don't know how they do that unless, as you say, Adam, they go fairly up high on the food chain, because they aren't, and we could get into a whole other discussion. There's too many immunities, meaning you got kind of this barrier from anybody coming after you as it stands right now.
Well, what, you know, for me, it all gets down to sort of human nature. You know, you can, I'm telling you, or I was telling you that Newsom likes the heft of that crop in his hand. Like it's starting to feel good. You know what I mean? And then somebody says, we want to open up beaches in Orange County. And he goes, I don't think so, because I like the way this feels now. And it doesn't even make you a bad person when you give people unlimited power and unlimited budgets, and you put them all in one building with a bunch of other people that are like-minded, then they sort of have a mission. And the mission is not justice. The mission is bring down Comey, or sort of bring down Flynn, or bring down the Duke lacrosse team, or bring down whomever, protect whomever, you know, cops protecting your client in Arizona. You know what I mean? It has to happen. It can go no other way. The instances of a person who has, you know, unlimited power and unlimited budget going, you know what? I saw some filings and some papers, and it suggests that it's the opposite of what we're thinking. So let's just put the riding crop down and walk away. Well, that doesn't exist. It really doesn't. So we cannot rely on people to do the right thing. They have to be incentivized. And the way they have to be...
I agree. I've been
so they must have skin in the game, and they must have jeopardy, which is what you're talking about, which is you may pursue a case against this citizen, but if you're wrong or we find out there's wrongdoings, then guess who will be the one behind bars?
Well, you know, and it's ironic you mentioned that, because one of the things I told Gary I wanted to talk about today is earlier this week, I'd argued a case via phone, telephonic hearing, in the 10th Circuit, which is the Federal Court of Appeals. And it was a case where we had sued a cop in Utah, Salt Lake City. And he had, in my humble opinion, executed my client's son. And it's on a body cam. Gary's got it. And the judge at the district court level had dismissed it. And one of the arguments was, I said to the judges, the Court of Appeals judges, I said, you know, this was posted on the Salt Lake City Tribune's website, and there's close to 1 million hits on it. And if I told these people that we were arguing that this was an objectively reasonable shooting, I think people would be aghast. And yeah, there it is, the Salt Lake Tribune. And it's horrific. And watch this. It's not that long. Watch this, Adam.
The cop is rolling up. He's in the car. Does he have a vest cam on?
He's got a body cam, correct.
And he comes pulling up to a mini market?
Yeah, it's a 7-Eleven. Gas station. Comes out. Check out how long is elapsed. 1-1,000. 2-1,000. 3-1,000.
There's a guy walking away, draws his gun. Yeah. Telling the guy
to
stop.
Get your hands out now.
He doesn't stop.
Get your hands out. Get him out.
Yeah. Well, yep. That seemed like it didn't seem like a good police shooting at all.
Yeah. I mean, it's as one of the judges said to the city attorney, you know, Gary's probably got the recording somewhere. There's no crime that was committed. They don't fit the description of the 911 call. Mind you, by the way, speaking of busybodies, the 911 call was a woman who called in two Mexicans walking, or something to the effect of two Hispanics or two Mexicans walking down the street. They went out and interviewed her later. Apparently, she'd been imbibing in vodka or was lit. And she calls in a 911. This guy, my client's son, doesn't even fit the description, but that's what ends up happening. You know, guy's walking down the street, didn't do a damn thing, and boom, he's dead within, what did it look like to you, about 20 seconds?
Yeah. Single shot killed him?
Two shots. Boom, boom. By the way, the cop yelling, you know, this reminds me, remember we talked last year about that case I had in the 8th Circuit that I had to take up there to get to the judge did the same thing where he dismissed it. We had to go up to the circuit court. And that one where the kid had the gun to his head and the cop said, drop the gun. He starts to drop the gun. They killed him. This one was show me your hands, show me your hands. The kid starts to show him the hands. The cop shoots him right through the hands and kills him, you know, immediately. And mind you, this is happening the same week that there's a brouhaha about the other case, and it's just infuriating, absolutely infuriating that these, and it's because of this doctrine of qualified immunity where
I want to take that away from some of the politicians too, so we can go after them for what they're doing with the homeless.
Right. I mean, it's no different. It's this immunity from any kind of, you know, Drew, there's a perfect example. I'm glad you're here. If you fuck up medically, well, you can get sued. Mind you, there's a micro cap, which means, you know, you're limited. I'm limited. And they try to scare off lawyers by the micro cap. But you can still get sued. I fuck up, I get sued. Yes. Why is it that everybody else, why does a prosecutor get a free ride? Why does why do the cops get a free ride? Why do the politicians get a free ride?
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And it's mind-boggling how intense the immunity is. We have to pierce that veil somehow so they can be held responsible the way every other professional on earth is held responsible. And sometimes it's a malpractice. Sometimes it's criminal. I mean, physicians don't – they can get prosecuted criminally for elderly people and whatnot.
Absolutely. I've defended doctors who've been prosecuted criminally over the years many a time. And, you know, it's rare, but it happens. Lawyers, the same thing. So I don't understand why this is somehow – outside the bounds of what should be. Why is it that we've got special things? If you're going to use deadly force on somebody, why is it that that we're going to give you or insulate you? How is it that a jury can't decide for themselves whether or not that tape was in fact a reasonable use of force?
Well, it's the only thing that'll prevent it. So the tactiles, sort of blue collar on the street version of what we're talking about is a guy, he's got a car, he's got a gun, he's got a badge, and you don't think he's going to develop an attitude when, you know, everyone has gotten attitude from a cop who's walked over. I mean, first things first, just think about that feeling. You guys, law-abiding taxpayers, citizen of the year candidates, and when you get pulled over, it feels like something has gone wrong. Your blood pressure goes up, you get a little adrenaline, you're driving a car that's fully insured, the plates and the tabs on the plates, everything's up to date, and you're just sitting there thinking, oh shit, as the guy walks through the car. Now, why are we even thinking that? Why should we think that? Why do we even have a climate of that? So we're asking the guy on the real blue collar, boots on the ground, kind of tactile level, that guy's got a gun and you better listen to what he says. That's basically how it works. As you go up toward the white collar realm, these guys, FBI guys or prosecutors from the Duke LaCrosse trial or whatever it is, they have an unlimited checkbook, an unlimited staff, and unlimited immunity. There's nothing we can do to them. How is it possible that this would go any other way?
Right.
How is it possible that the guy in the street is not going to draw his gun and use it if he has all these protections? And how is it impossible that the prosecutor is not going to abuse his power with unlimited money and no downside professionally? Of course it's going to happen. The only way to prevent it is to start busting these cops and start busting these prosecutors or FBI or whomever is wielding the power.
Well, I've got an interesting one just this week. LA Times did an article on a LAPD officer, once again, using excessive force. Somebody called me up. I'd almost forgotten. Back in 2011, I sued the city because this guy, this same officer, had engaged in what at best you could say creative evidence suggestions to get my client filed on and then shot him. And the city had to write a mid six-figure check. And 8 years later, 9 years later, it's Redux. It's the same thing because the city doesn't do anything. They write a check. That's the end of that. They didn't take any action. And it's awful. I mean, that's, you know, LAPD. And it's just infuriating. I mean, you see, it makes you want to just have special roving councils appointed, which I've always been an opponent of. But somebody's got to do something at some point. You just can't say. I mean, if you think that what a cop did is significant enough that you have to write, that the city taxpayers have to write a check that breaks the $100,000 mark, you would think that if that's the case, that there should be some ameliorative action, wouldn't you?
Well, you know, as a student of psychology, I just think it could go no other way. I mean, I'll give you unintended circumstances. You know, if you say, hey, rich wife, no matter what you do, you can cut out pot roast and blowjobs for the rest of your life. But at the end of the day, if that guy pipes up, you'll just take half of everything he owns and he can go move into a Motel 6. How long before that chick slows down on the blowjobs and the pot runs? That's all I'm saying. It's not their fault.
Why blowjobs and pot roast? That's what the first thing.
Because if you do
a unique combination,
why you got married?
If you do the pot roast first, it's weird.
So listen, I got to run here, but I wanted
because
to do
you got to put the roast in the slow cooker and go find Susan.
No, I'm saying
talk about pot roast and blowjobs. Drew's exiting stage left.
Yes, I gotta make it out of here.
No, I'm saying you don't have the woman worrying about ring around the collar or why he wouldn't drink a second cup of my coffee when you can just whack it in half. Sorry, Drew.
I gotta bail out on you guys, but I still want to do maybe I have to come back. I want to talk to Mark about Lantrum and Petra's short act.
Would love that, Drew.
We must get that change. You might want to look at AB 640 that John Morlock has proposed multiple times to the state Senate,
which gets nowhere.
But Mia St. John, you mentioned earlier, was involved with all this because her son died because she couldn't do anything to help him because of these shitty laws. But we'll come back and I'll do that one.
Thanks, all right, Drew.
Thanks, Drew.
Always good to see you.
Yeah, it is. You know, it's interesting times we're living in, which is the state is sort of simultaneously saying, if you're a citizen, we can tell you to do anything and you cannot disobey. But out of the other side of the mouth, they're saying we can't do anything if this guy's homeless or this guy's crazy or this guy's on the street or your son's a drug addict. There's nothing. So it's like, on one hand, they're doing everything. They're micromanaging everything. And on the other hand, they're telling you we're powerless. We can do nothing. And this.
Well, perfect example is last, whatever it was, 10 days ago, they put the homeless woman, one of these homeless women, sheltered in a motel in the valley. She tests positive for coronavirus and then she flees. Obviously, she's got mental challenges. And when asked about it, the mayor's response and LAPD response is, hey, there's nothing we can do. We don't have the power to do anything else. Well, yes, you do. You do have the power. And if you don't have the power, why do you have the power to run around issuing criminal citations of lawful businesses who are trying to stay afloat? So, as you said, it just makes no sense. And why, by the way, are they issuing tickets to cars that are parked for curbside for engine company to pick up food, yet at the same time, there's a guy sleeping in the alcove here, right around the corner, 50 feet away. There's another woman who's sleeping on the grate, 30 feet away. No problem. You can sleep on the street. You can piss and defecate on the street. But God forbid you come by to pick up food.
Well, you know, one of the discussions I had that probably got more response than just about any topic was I was talking to Tucker Carlson a few months ago. It kind of went viral, but I was basically, he wanted to know what was going on with the homeless situation in Los Angeles. And basically he's from Southern California, lived in Los Angeles for a while and wants to know why it's turned into an asshole. And I said, well, here's why. The government has decided the citizens fall into one of two categories, ones with checking accounts and ones without. And if you don't have a checking account, then they don't need you. They're not going to prosecute you. They're not even going to touch you. If you don't have a checking account, they are not interested because the people without checking accounts cost them money. One side of the ledger makes them money. The other side costs them money. So riding chicken shit tickets on Forest Lawn Drive makes them money. Dealing with the homeless costs them money. And it's a very simple equation. And when a government starts going down that road, it always ends up badly. You cannot do that.
It's insidious. It takes people who work hard and makes them angry. I mean, it just, I don't understand why. I mean, even down to the point where somebody who works for me, who wants to pull up and grab some work because and park in front. There's actually a little island here. And that person will get ticketed, but she's afraid to walk to the work, even though she lives two blocks away, because she's going to be assaulted by the meth zombies of the apocalypse. So, I mean, it really is crazy. It's insane. And there is I know we joke about it, but it really is, it's infuriating, and it infuriates people who are trying to keep people employed and do business in a war zone.
Last question, back to the horse trail. I've not seen any security on the horse trail, but I do see them constantly putting the ribbons back up after they get torn down. Is there an update on that?
Yeah, I want to take credit. I think that you and I discussing the fact that they were considering armed guards was enough of a forearm shiver to scare them out of putting the armed guards on the trail. That's what I'm told. I'll take that as a win. We'll put it in the reasonable doubt Corolla Garrigus win column, that apparently we scared them off with the insipid craziness that the busybodies are on the trail. And I think the mayor finally succumbed, and beginning as this drops today, a Saturday, the trails will be back open again.
Well, for some heroes, they were never closed. Mark Garrigus, tip of the spear. All right. If you'd like to get my new book or pre-order my new book, I'm Your Emotional Support Animal. That's available now on Amazon for pre-order. It's coming out the 16th of June. But if you pre-order it, it helps us get into other stores and that kind of thing. So go ahead and grab that. And also check out my stand-up on our YouTube page, youtube.com/Adam Carolla, and Chassis for all the movies. Mark, what do you got?
Well, we're open at Engine and at Tenney now for takeout, curbside. We're also, we're losing money, but we're keeping it open so that we can let people have their jobs. And if you patronize those two places, you'll help us defray the cost of every Friday sending free food over to the first responders. So do that. Do a solid for the first responders.
So until next time, Adam Carolla for Mark Garrigus saying mahalo.
Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt. Tune in next Saturday for an all-new episode. This is Corolla Digital.